It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On today's show, we have the Sheriff of Calaveras County, Rochelle Whiting. We're going to get into several public safety topics. Sheriff Whiting, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Thanks, BJ. I'm so happy to have the opportunity to be back on the show. I cannot believe it has almost been a year since I became Calaveras County Sheriff and you and I talked previously.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's been almost a year now. So 1 year in, looking back, what has it been like to be the Sheriff of Calaveras County?
Being Sheriff's definitely different than anything else I've ever done working for the Sheriff's Office in the past 25 years. My job's a lot more political than it used to be. But it's pretty awesome to be part of the California State Sheriff's Association and network and learn from the other 57 sheriffs in California. You know, we all deal with very similar issues with legislation and matters, you know, just on different scales. So it's great working with all the other sheriffs on issues that affect us all. And then I'm just happy to be in a position to make positive progressions for the future of the county and continue to do whatever we can at the Sheriff's Office to serve our citizens. But as sheriff, probably most importantly, what's dear to me, you know, what keeps me up at night is thinking about not just public safety issues, but more so, you know, how are we doing at the Sheriff's Office? How are we working with our community and our allied agency partners on the quality of life issues for our community? Community engagement has always been so huge for me. I know our community holds us to the highest standards of accountability and expectation of transparency, and I don't take that lightly.
What would you say have been some of the successes this past year?
Yeah, BJ, I remember last year I told everyone that one of my goals as Calaveras County Sheriff was I want to make sure that our department keeps up with equipment and technology. So I am happy to report some major accomplishments that we've been able to do over the past year. We just completed the project. We replaced all the laptops in our patrol vehicles, and that keeps the deputies working more in the field and out of the office. Another huge accomplishment just this last week, thanks to FOXO, the Friends of the Sheriff organization, we just put a new crisis negotiation team command van into service. That vehicle has solar panels, communications equipment, so our trained hostage negotiators can de-escalate situations. And then right now we're working on purchasing a new state-of-the-art unmanned aerial vehicle. That's a new drone for the Sheriff's Office this fiscal year. Drones have become really essential for law enforcement operations, so that'll be used for aerial photography, overwatch during critical incidents, and search and rescues. I'm sure you saw the search and rescue press release last week that went out about the missing mother and son that our SAR team had located. So I am really happy to say that in the past year, through funds from the Sheriff's Office, through some grant funds, and especially SAR team fundraising, that we were able to acquire a new search and rescue command truck for that volunteer unit that they're utilizing. And then they were also recently able to get a side-by-side Polaris Ranger that seats six people donated to their organization. So a lot of their equipment is obtained through fundraising, and they are a volunteer unit. So I'm a big proponent. I'm happy to support and dedicate resources to our search and rescue team.
Yes, great. So the new command truck, what are the types of things that go into that vehicle?
A lot of equipment, supplies, they can consolidate it. Oftentimes it works as our radio repeater. Our SAR team does utilize a Starlink to be able to have connectivity. When the searchers go out, you know, they do grid patterns, and when they come back, they upload it, and then we overlay them, come up with maps for the next operational period. There's a lot that goes into a search and rescue operation, as well as people collecting background information and following up on just the general missing person leads that happen as well. So working out of those command trucks, you know, it's a combination of Sheriff's Office employees and the volunteer administrators.
So looking back on your first year and also ahead to the coming years ahead, what do you see as kind of the big challenges right now facing the sheriff's office?
So there's definitely been some challenges over the past year and the different issues that we deal with, some good, some not so good. I was happy to support and see Proposition 36 get passed in California, and that increased penalties on certain theft and drug-related crimes. In fact, I just talked to the Calaveras County Board of Supervisors the other day, and we presented several sheriff's office objectives to be included in an upcoming strategic plan. And one objective that I outlined to our board is the restructuring of our narcotics division. For about 10 years now in Calaveras, the sheriff's office has focused heavily on illegal marijuana activity in our county. And we will continue to have dedicated narcotics investigators engaged in proactive enforcement of illegal marijuana. However, when the legal industry was established, it created a funding source for a dedicated marijuana enforcement team. And that funding, as I'm sure you've heard, is coming in much lower than expected. So over the past couple years, we have been adjusting with reduced staffing and doing everything we still can for marijuana enforcement. But moving into the future, I plan to consolidate several org keys, restructure our narcotics unit for the next year's budget, bring back the old Calaveras Narcotics Enforcement Unit that we used to call CNU. That focuses not just on illegal marijuana, but it combats a lot more methamphetamine, fentanyl, and other issues. You know, yes, we do work towards eliminating illegal substance cultivation, manufacturing, trafficking, and use in our counties, but one primary objective in doing so is stopping the tragic number of overdose deaths that are occurring, the substance use disorder effects that are ruining people's lives, and getting drug-endangered children identified, connecting them and their family to the resources to ensure they are safe, properly cared for, and in our education system. You know, like with marijuana, no matter your stance, if you're pro-cannabis, if you're against it, if whether you think people should be arrested for drug use or whether there should be more money put into treatment programs and whatnot, I think that we can all agree that prioritizing the lives of our citizens, of our children, and of our vulnerable populations is a paramount objective.
With those marijuana grows, I mean, I know years ago that was a very big concern in Calaveras County. Has it become, have they become less since it's become legal in the county, or you're still seeing quite a few illegal grows?
We are still seeing quite a few illegal grows. They did transition a lot more from outdoor, you know, from public lands to outdoor, from outdoor to indoor. So investigations, you know, can be lengthier. We do rely a lot on community tips. So we still have our marijuana tip line. It's posted on our website that people can call. So we are still, even with moving focus and combating more of multi-drug approach, we still are going to be targeting any illegal marijuana activity in the county.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with the Sheriff of Calaveras County, Rochelle Whiting, on this weekend's Motherload Views. Motherload Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We're going to get into crime trends next during this next segment. We'll be back in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about public safety and crime trends on this weekend show. We're joined by the Sheriff of Calaveras County, Rochelle Whiting. She's been in that position for just about a year now. Sheriff Whiting, next thing I want to ask you about is just kind of general crime trends that you're noticing in Calaveras County. What is kind of the latest that you're seeing?
Well, last year, BJ, when I became sheriff, one of the first things I had our office do was to bring back the community survey to gather input from our citizens on kind of how they felt things were going on at the sheriff's office. But especially what our citizens and visitors think are the greatest problems in our community. So I'll have our public information officer reissue the link to that survey, because we love collecting input. Not only do we do crime analysis and look at patterns of criminal activity, but we also want input from the citizens telling us what they value, what they think are the most important. So we do review the statistics, and a combination of what our community tells us and what we're seeing. Probably the biggest public safety issues in Calaveras are burglary and thefts, issues around drug abuse, traffic issues like speeding, passing on double yellow that causes accidents and unfortunately causes fatal accidents, and driving under the influence, domestic violence, and then we still do have issues dealing with the unhoused population. So deputies continue to patrol in designated beats. However, we also use that hotspot policing and the crime analysis to increase our law enforcement activity based on the trends. Like, if we see criminal activity increases based on the statistics in certain locations or around just certain people or certain times of the day or certain days of the week, then at the sheriff's office, we adjust our patrol deployment plans accordingly based on those trends.
You know, being such a unique area, Calaveras County with Valley Springs different than Murphy's, Murphy's different than Arnold and Angels Camp, do different communities kind of have their own issues, or are you noticing kind of stats being similar all across the board?
It's pretty similar, and I'm happy to say, of course, that our crime stats are not high in Calaveras, but our more populated areas of the county, like Valley Springs, it definitely does. You can see a little bit of a difference with the statistics and in more criminal activity, and we usually do adjust accordingly. You know, when we make decisions to allocate resources or staff projects and programs at the sheriff's office, we always prioritize problem-oriented and community-based policing and protecting our vulnerable populations like our elderly and our children. You know, that's why topics like school safety continue to be a priority for us. So we just continue to keep those things in mind and take them into account when our patrol teams go out.
You alluded to fentanyl a little bit earlier in drugs. What are you noticing with fentanyl right now? Is it prevalent in Calaveras County, or are you seeing busts?
I mean, we're definitely seeing it. We go after it. We work not only with our local narcotics investigators. We also have a Homeland Security Task Force member that does come up to the Calaveras County Sheriff's Office and works with us. Because, I mean, the number of people in our society with substance abuse, with behavioral health issues, with mental health disorders, with all of these compounding issues is staggering. So we continue to do whatever we can.
You mentioned, too, school safety. I'm curious on that topic, too. What are the types of things the sheriff's office does to work with schools to help ensure that schools are safe?
So we do have a dedicated school resource officer. That's his job. You know, he works, he goes to football games, he works with school administrators, he gives advice on school hardening and perimeter fences or cameras or door stops. We have brought several times now, we have brought the ALICE training up to Calaveras County and invited, and numerous school administrators and teachers have participated. So we work with them to make sure that there's a level of readiness and understanding, making sure that the plans are updated amongst our schools. So for the sheriff's office and our involvement in school safety is just keeping it a priority, keeping the dedicated school resource officer as a dedicated asset that just works on that problem alone.
You know, getting into some other topics, you know, obviously when your deputies go to different calls, they never know exactly what they're going to run into or face. How would you say your deputies kind of manage, you know, crises when it comes to like mental health issues versus criminal complaints?
Yeah, that's a major issue, in fact, right now. So there was a recent 9th District Court of Appeals ruling. It was Scott versus Smith, and it talked about whether law enforcement qualified immunity would be denied or not if there was no crime involved at all, but you're just dealing with people in mental crisis. And what if they combative and then deputies have to use force against them? You know, would deputies still get qualified immunity or not? So we at the Sheriff's Office, we use a multi-agency cooperative approach. We do have behavioral health caseworkers that are embedded at the Sheriff's Office. They are utilized for mobile crisis response. They assist us with resources like dealing with the unhoused population and ensuring the continuum of care before, during, and after incarceration. But in dealing with subjects like that, you know, as sheriff, ways that I remain focused on keeping our staff and our community safe is ensuring that we have the proper personal protective equipment, technology, and training for our staff. Our deputies undergo crisis intervention training. They learn techniques to try their best to de-escalate situations. We try and carry out our jobs with the highest regard for human dignity and life. And sometimes it's necessary that we have to use force or even lethal force when there's an immediate imminent danger. But the challenges that our deputies face is having to constantly make split-second decisions and evaluating situations, often with very limited information and with people who sometimes are just in crisis and need help.
How about the budget? Has the Sheriff's Office had to make reductions this fiscal year?
Yeah, we are definitely, we've probably been faced with budget reductions for about three fiscal years now. So creating the 25-26 budget was tough with reductions, but we worked with our county administration to hopefully maintain the level of programs and personnel needed. We still, even though we took budget reductions this year, we just had one recruit graduate from the police academy. We are still planning on sending four to the next academy that just starts in the next couple weeks. We were still able to plan for and will be purchasing four new patrol vehicles this fiscal year. I am thrilled to report we are now fully staffed with dispatchers. Dispatch has been huge low staffing over the last couple years, so we just hired our final dispatcher. So it continues to be through our governmental and our community partnerships that we are able to accomplish our public safety goals. But we are definitely at a tipping point with budget reductions. So time will tell if this current budget is sustainable or not.
Would you say it's difficult at this time to attract deputies to Calaveras County, or how's that going?
It is difficult. I think I talked to you last time I was on the show about recruitment and retention. So thankfully, Calaveras County did complete a class and comp study. Most all positions within the sheriff's office did receive raises. So we are looking a lot better as far as equitable compensation compared to our comparable counties. So that is helping a lot. And then as sheriff, I've been working a lot on maintaining and keeping a positive culture within the sheriff's office. And, you know, like one of the first things you asked me of what's it been like being sheriff, probably the most rewarding thing is walking the hallways around here and having deputies say thank you, like thank you for this equipment you got us, thank you for the training we're able to go to, and just seeing people happy working here and just retaining really good quality deputies, dispatchers, correctional officers, sheriff techs, the entire staff of the sheriff's office. So we're sitting better. We are filling the spots, and I'm happy to report that.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Calaveras County Sheriff Rochelle Whiting on this weekend's Motherload Views, getting into public safety issues in Calaveras County. One thing we're going to get into in the final segment is the Cold Case Task Force that's got some attention recently in Calaveras County. That's coming up next. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Hold on here.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We are talking with Calaveras County Sheriff Rochelle Whiting on this weekend's Mother Lode Views, talking about public safety issues in Calaveras County. Sheriff Whiting, as I alluded to as we ended the last segment, one thing I want to ask you about is the cold case task force that's gotten some attention recently, kind of cracking open some of these old cases that were unsolved. What can you tell us about this, you know, how it all came about, how it's going, and kind of plans on the horizon?
Yeah, so our cold case task force in Calaveras County is doing amazing work with advanced DNA technology and genetic genealogy. It's made up not only of members of the sheriff's office, but the district attorney's office. There's a board of directors that oversees it, our coroner's office. Since my last interview with you, that task force identified Reggie Frisbee, which was a previously unidentified victim of the Charles Ng Leonard Lake serial killer case. They also identified and were able to send the remains of Brenda O'Connor back to her family. Brenda was a known victim in the Ng case. However, her remains were previously not able to be identified through DNA, so she had never been returned to her loved ones, and the cold case task force was able to do that. They are currently working on two new DNA profiles that have been assigned to genealogy. So they use non-county funds mainly through their fundraising, and they use to pay for the reprocessing of evidence from old homicide cases. So we encourage everyone to stay tuned. The stuff that they are doing is very exciting. They are working on a couple other cases. Coming up in September last year, we highlighted a series of cold cases on our social media. We'll be doing that again this year. I believe the Calaveras County Cold Case Task Force next fundraising event is scheduled for November 8th. So they have a website where tickets can be purchased or donations made, but it is amazing work that that task force is doing.
That's great. Yeah, an exciting new technology, seeing that happen. How about this fire season? We're right in the middle of July right now. You know, what advice do you have people as we are, you know, right now in the heat of the summer fire season?
So I think the biggest thing is to know your zone and be prepared. I mean, we're in the heat of fire season, so the home hardening, the brush clearing, all that should already be done. So when fires ignite, of course, our dispatchers can get overwhelmed with just numerous calls of concerned citizens. And our deputies do respond to wildland fires. They work with the fire incident commander in determining the necessity for evacuation warnings or orders. Deputies might go door to door, or the Office of Emergency Services uses the Genesis Protect online notification system. It's the exact same thing as Zone Haven. It was just renamed. And so you can go to the Calaveras OES website, sign up and receive Calaveras alerts. But the biggest thing is just find your zone, know your zone. That's how we communicate for evacuation warnings and orders, and then just be prepared.
Does the Calaveras County Sheriff Office just use those two, warnings and orders?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And if evacuation orders are given, this means there's immediate threat. So we ask people just please don't delay your departure. It could lead to traffic congestion. It can hinder fire suppression efforts coming into the area. We know that people being asked to leave their home is a serious decision. And in collaboration with our partner agencies, we are committed to lifting evacuation orders as soon as it is safe to do so. And sometimes the most frustrating part for our citizens who, you know, once they think the fire progression has been stopped, they immediately want to go home. We have to coordinate repopulation with public safety in mind as well. You know, were there power lines down that are across roadways? Have they been de-energized or not? So we have to work with utility companies. Are there hazard trees down or leaning across pathways and roadways? Was the any other affected area infrastructure like water and sewer damaged or functioning? So a lot sometimes goes into repopulating evacuated zones. We know people get frustrated. They just want to check on their things. So we just ask for continued patience when dealing with wildland fires, and we are committed to lifting orders as soon as it's safe to do so.
When you've got those big fires and you have to move out a large area, you know, is there anything at all that people can do to kind of let you know that they have evacuated so they don't, you don't have to go into certain areas and see if people are there?
Yeah, so Calaveras OES does have evacuated tags, so you can flag your property. We're going to still double check and make sure we do evacuation refusal logs. We go door to door and double check, but when seconds do matter and when there is fast moving wildland fires and we go door to door, there are tags that you can get from Calaveras OES. Most of the local fire stations can help you on getting those tags and having those ready so you can flag your property to let first responders know that you've already evacuated.
It's a type of the year when fires can happen. It's also the type of the year when a lot of people go out and hiking into the wilderness areas. Do you have any advice for people who are going to be going out in areas that are difficult to reach and difficult to access?
Yeah, we could probably spend a whole hour on that topic alone, BJ. It's definitely be prepared, know where you're going, do some research, and please tell someone what your plan is, what your time frame ahead of time. Come up with certain checkpoints or thresholds where if they don't hear from you or you haven't checked in, then they know to alert us so too much time doesn't pass. But really know your limits and do some research into the area and the weather for where you're going.
Also want to ask about the role of volunteers in your department. We did a news story recently that they were recognized by Senator Marie Alvarado Gill. What can you tell us about the volunteers and the types of things that they do?
Yeah, so at the Sheriff's Office, we have well over 60, probably closer to 70 volunteers that assist us. About 35 of those are part of the volunteer search and rescue team that I talked about earlier. And another 30 to 35 that make up our Sheriff's volunteer unit. So they man our substations. They do extra patrols. They do vacation house checks in our communities. So they don't just help us as a visual deterrent for criminal activity. They are a force multiplier for the Sheriff's Office. They do traffic control and foot patrol during community events. So we definitely cannot accomplish many of our programs that the Sheriff's Office offers without the dedication and commitment of our volunteers.
Got just a couple minutes left on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm curious just your thoughts on new technology evolving as well. You mentioned technology with the Cold Case Task Force. Is it difficult to kind of keep up with all the different things that are changing right now when it comes to technology?
It takes a lot. We're constantly reviewing what other agencies are doing, what policies and procedures need to be placed. We do a lot of vendor research and comparisons to determine if certain elements are useful or something we want to implement. You know, we've been looking a lot at AI, you know, certain things that we can expand to. Through the Homeland Security Grant, the Calaveras Sheriff's Office got two camera trailers that we deploy as needed based on crime trends, and even the City of Angels Camp Police Department has a fixed camera. So now we are exploring technology options with using cameras along with license plate readers and AI technology that searches the footage to help fight crime. So, for instance, you can enter a license plate and search the footage for that vehicle, or you can enter like a red four-door sedan. And then the system will automatically search the camera footage for anything that meets that criteria and go straight to that footage. So we are definitely looking into expanding the use of that type of technology as a crime-fighting tool and to solve cases.
It's all very interesting. Sheriff Whiting, thanks so much for coming on Motherlode Views. Any closing comments you'd like to make?
No, BJ, I just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity. I love speaking to you. You are another force multiplier to be able to put the message through you out to the community. I'm going to have our public information officer re-release the link to our community survey. So I ask anyone that wants to provide input to the Sheriff's Office, let us know how we're doing or share your concerns and where you think our priorities should be to fill out that community survey.
And we'll put that up on mymotherlode.com on a link. Sheriff Whiting, it's been great having you on Motherlode Views. We look forward to having you back at a future time. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to be focusing on transportation projects in Tuolumne County. We'll be joined on the show by the new Tuolumne County Transportation Council Executive Director, Tamara Blankenship. She'll give us an update on projects that are in development in Tuolumne County. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.